Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
And good afternoon. Reba Tony here with Tom Meglia's show, Knowing the Economy of God. Wow, this is a great show. Let me tell you about Tom. He's a chartered life underwriter, a finance consultant, registered investment advisor with 28 years of financial coaching and counseling experiences in the areas of personal finance planning, estate planning, business consulting. He's also an accredited estate planner with a master's of science in financial services. Tom's also approved referral coach for Crown Ministries. You know, Money Matters, heard weekdays on this station. Tom's the go-to guy for Southern California. His website, www.theeconomyofgod.com. New book out in April, Knowing the Economy of God. Give us a call, 800-386-3700 or 818-681-8600. Here he is, our financial planner, with what he says is a face for radio, but I think he's got a good-looking face. Tom, how are you?
I'm good. The financial planner with a face for radio.
There we go. How about that introduction?
I love it. Boy, you know what? We've got to stop eating so much chocolate, though, before we start our program.
Why's that?
Because we both sound like our 10-year-olds.
We're wound up, huh?
I don't let him eat sugar after 6, by the way.
Oh, because he'll be wound up.
Yep.
Huh?
He won't get to sleep. That's my little method.
So we have a great show today. You were just telling me that we're going to revisit a scripture that we went over last week.
Yes, 2 Chronicles. And before we do that, Reba, why don't you read 2 Timothy 3:16, which is one of the greatest verses in the Bible and one of my favorite verses.
It sets the mood when you start to get into this, doesn't it? 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen. The man and woman of God for every good work. And that's what equips us. And I'd like to just start off today, Reba, by explaining to everyone what God's economy is. And people say, Tom, what is the economy of God? Well, the economy of God is the thinking of God, not the thinking of some financial planner or financial counselor. No, I'm just a messenger of what God already says and what God wrote and God's systems, his economic systems, which are basically his thoughts about what money means, what finances are, the true intent of God's heart about anything economic or financial related in his Bible. And in the book that's coming out in April, Reba, I just went through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I pulled out every economic thing, principle, concept that I could find. And I'll never do it again because, you know, I don't sit well. I don't know. I just can't sit that long. I get all uptight. Like, you know, I want to get up and move around.
Well, you know, it says my people perish for a lack of
knowledge.
That's right.
And so I pulled out all the principles and we talked about them in this book, and it's coming out soon. I can't wait. You know, the cover, you know who made our cover? You'll never guess.
Who did?
The cover girl. You know who? You know how they always talk like who's the cover girl on a magazine?
Right. Oh, I got the cover.
The cover. Like who's the cover of, you know those secular magazines?
Vanity Fair,
Vogue, Red Book, all that kind of thing. Well, you know who made our cover?
Who?
The widow of the widow's mite.
Love that.
In Luke and Mark, where Jesus said, hey, look what she's doing. She's giving all she had. Where the Pharisees gave a little bit and showed off, you know. She didn't show off. She went up there, gave her 2 mites, which add up in today's dollars to a half a penny. That was what she actually gave in economic terms in today's dollars. The present value of 2 mites in today's money is a half a penny. And Jesus said she gave all she had. She qualified to make our cover of our book.
Wow.
I can't wait.
And what a powerful cover girl. And that book is out in just a month. Are you so excited?
I'm excited, but you know what, Reba? I'll never do it again because, first of all, I'm not really that good in grammar and English and writing. That's one problem. Second, I can't sit 3 years at a desk and part-time and write because I get too antsy.
Wow, 3 years of knowledge. That's coming to all of us.
I'm like my 10-year-old. I don't sit well, you know. I'm too hyper.
So you're telling us about what the economy of God is.
Yes, and that's the four anchors, Reba. The four anchors, the entire Bible and the book about the Bible and finance is on four anchors. The four anchors are, number one, God is the owner, the one and only true owner of me, my talents that he gave me, finances, job, money, relationships, all of that, God is the one and true only owner. Not God and Tom. Not God a lot and Tom a little, or Tom a lot and God just a little. No, it's all God, no me. God is the one and true only owner of everything we have. Mm-hmm. And number two, the second anchor is that makes me a steward or manager of his resources for God's honor and glory. And I'm a servant, manager, steward of what belongs to him. He didn't give me the things he gave me for my credit or honor or anything. It's to honor the Lord and bring people to Christ. That's what this is all about. Eternal concepts. And number three, we're to be big and cheerful and good givers, consistent givers, time, treasures, and talents. That's what stewards do. They don't give away to say, oh, look at me. The widow on the cover didn't do that. She loved God and wanted to give towards God's ultimate purposes. And fourth, the fourth part of the anchor, Reba, is we're to learn to be content Christians. And there's a whole part of my book on contentment. And we'll talk about that as we go through this entire situation, the economic concepts of God, the economy of God. We'll get to contentment, and it is going to be incredible. I'm going to bring up my own stuff and just be vulnerable. Because people might say, oh, is he content? Well, I'll tell you what, when it comes to that program, I'll tell you what gives me trouble in contentment and what I struggle with and what I'm pretty good at. Because we're all works in progress, Reba. Everyone's at a different place in their Christian faith. Some aren't quite there today. Maybe tomorrow they will be. We all fluctuate. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that the truth?
It is. It is. We're all in the same race.
We are. Mm-hmm. I mean, catch me tomorrow. I may not be quite as on target with the Lord as I am today and vice versa. But that's honest.
It's a daily walk.
It's a daily walk, Reba.
So tell me about today's scripture.
2 Chronicles 1:7-12. And I think we can get all this in before the break. We've got a few minutes. 2 Chronicles 1:7-12. And by the way, Reba, the more I read this, the more additional things pop out at me. Mm-hmm. And my little son, one night we prayed in front of my wife and I prayed with him in front of his bed. And I read this to him. He said, God appeared to Solomon, Dad? I go, yeah, forgot about that. I said, Jonathan, when does God appear to someone in the Bible? How often?
Yeah.
So he brought up different things, times, not very many, when God appeared to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So listen to this. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want met to give you. Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord, let your promise to my father David be confirmed. You have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I've made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you. And I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you ever will have. Reba, what do you think of that passage?
Incredible.
That's heavy.
It is. It is. It's so incredible how much it applies to our life.
I know.
Right now.
Today. And that's what's so interesting, because the recipe in understanding each of these concepts that I wrote about and that we talk about in the program is, number one, we cite the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, we state the principles, the economic principles, various principles that come from that scriptural passage. And then third, we try to explain, how do you apply this to your normal life? Mm. Because isn't the Bible for today?
That's what we read in 2 Timothy.
It's for today.
It is. It is.
So if someone, Reba, someone says, oh, the Bible doesn't matter anymore, it doesn't apply for today, it's not going to have any answer for this particular situation today where somebody in my office did this or that, or my sister yelled at me or whatever. It's not true. The Bible is for today.
It is. And there are so many people. Maybe you recently came into a large sum of money. Maybe someone's passed away and made you the steward of over their estate. Mm-hmm. Maybe your husband has passed before you, mm-hmm. and you've never handled finances before. Maybe you're in a position where you have a lot of debt. How do you get out of that? You're starting your career. Which direction do you go?
Yes.
You want to take the biblical principles that Tom's taking with you into your finances.
Absolutely, Reba. That's well put. And at the end of the program, just like at the end of each concept we discuss in the book, there's the prayer of change. Mm. The prayer of change is allowing the Almighty God, the Supreme Being, the God that's always been here and always will be here, to change the way we live. No financial planner can do that. Only God, through your heart and spirit and prayer, can change me or you, or that's called the prayer of change. And we are running up to a break. So after the break, we'll catch up some more, Reba, on just what the economic principles are from this passage.
Fantastic. Visit the website, www.theeconomyofgod.com. Look for Tom's new book coming out in April, Knowing the Economy of God. Give us a call, 800-386-3700.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share Knowing the Economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
And we're back. It's Knowing the Economy of God with Tom Meglia. Tom is the approved referral coach for Crown Ministries. Heard right here during the week with Crown Financial Ministries. You can visit crown.org or go to his website, theeconomyofgod.com. Visit that today. Look for Tom's new book. It's coming out in April, Knowing the Economy of God. 800-386-3700. Give us a call. He's our financial planner with a face for radio.
Yep.
Tom, we're back.
Hi.
And we are looking at 2 Chronicles.
Oh, yeah. 2 Chronicles 1:7. You know, Reba, when we talk about the economic principles, there are so many in that passage. There's not just one that you can pick out, but the one that comes to mind most is that Solomon was given a free credit card by God to say, what do you want? God put it in his mind, what do you want? Can you imagine God appearing to you
saying, I've never heard it said that way.
Well, he said, ask for me whatever you want.
I would be at Macy's. How terrible is that?
Yeah, you might be, but only after you blessed others.
Yes.
Because I think your heart would be to want to give to people first.
Yeah.
And keep a tiny little splinter for Macy's. And that's okay, too, because, you know, God knows that we have needs. And it's not wrong to have some things in the right context. That's not a sin. But I think that one of the principles, Reba, is that when we talk to God, we need to have a righteous heart before him when we make our requests. And that's what Solomon did. He had a righteous heart. Hmm. And that's defined as a pure heart, a purely motivated heart and soul to want something other than the flesh. He didn't ask God for vengeance. He didn't ask God for wealth and fame and make me famous and all this kind of thing. That's not what he wanted. Now, let's say he did and he was lying. God knew it would have known his heart, because King David, Solomon's father, in 1 Chronicles said, hey, 1 Chronicles 28:9, God knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. He knows your mind. He knows your heart. He knows your intent. Hmm. That tells us that if we ask God for something that we really are not righteous on our request, and we're asking in bad faith, he knows what we're thinking. Hmm. God knows. So that won't work. We cannot fake out God.
Though we can fake out ourselves sometimes.
Oh, and we do.
Yeah.
And we do. Mm. Just give me this and I'll do that. Mm-hmm. Let's make a deal. Come on, God, give me this blessing. I'll turn around and bless others with it. God knows what we'll do. Mm-hmm. And so Solomon wasn't asking for tangibles. He was asking for intangibles. He had pure motives in his request to God. He had a righteous heart. He took inventory. He asked God for real wisdom.
And that, how does that apply to the economic principles that you were talking about earlier?
Well, you know, most people in that travel around and could be in a materialistic or fleshly mode at different times of their Christian faith. It's easy to say, I want this, I want that. I'm this age, let's say you're 30, 40, 50, 60. You feel like you haven't gotten there. You feel like, you know, I haven't gotten far enough in life. I haven't been as successful as I wanted to be. I got to make this up. And sometimes people do terrible things. They'll try to get rich quick, which is a sin, according to Proverbs. Hmm. Or they'll say, Lord, I blew it. Give me all this. Make it all up to me. You know, expect God to be a waiter or a servant. No, that's not what God wants us to do. We need to go before him, make our requests known, be in fellowship with him, ask him for what we really should be asking. I mean, what are the things we don't want, Reba? Patience. For more forgiveness for when people hurt us. Those are tough things to ask for.
Yeah.
When's the last time one of us in this room said to God, Lord, don't give me money. Give me more patience for when people hurt me. And
Long suffering. Yeah.
Teach me more, Lord, about, you know, intangibles. I don't think we do that all enough. We need to. This is what God wants us to do. But then God said, hey, I know your heart's in the right place, Solomon. I'm going to give you the wisdom you asked for and the wealth and honor and riches, because I know you can handle it. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is.
He knew that Solomon could handle it. It wouldn't trip him up. In other words, God's saying to Solomon, you can handle it. You're a mature enough Christian to handle it. I'm going to give you wealth because I know it won't mess you up. I know it won't cause you to sin. Mm-hmm. I know it won't be where your golden calf is, because that's not what floats your boat. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? I know.
It is.
I mean.
And we've made so many things golden calves here in our normal life.
Exactly.
Can you talk about that for a minute?
Oh, absolutely. The first commandment in Exodus 20, verse 1. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am the Lord your God. If we have a false God before God, do you think he's going to put up with that for long?
No.
Maybe a while, because God says he's long-suffering and patient. But boy, it's coming. We must not put anything ahead of him. When we do, Reba, job titles, marital status, net worth building, stock accounts, money, all the kind of stuff, jewels, real estate, anything like that before him, that's a false God. That's a sin. Because God says he's a jealous God.
So they're not bad, but they're bad when they're in the wrong place.
Exactly. They're bad when they come before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2 Chronicles, you got to read that, everybody. It's just so awesome. Because Solomon's asking for wisdom. We need to ask for wisdom. At the end of this broadcast, the prayer of change, I'll be praying and asking for the listeners for wisdom.
Mm.
So let's move forward. How about that?
Yeah.
Application. Now, how do you apply this to your normal life? Well, one thing people need to do, these are like five things I came up with to apply it to our normal life. And one is we need to take inventory of our heart. You know, to take inventory means we're honest. That means we're saying, Lord, this is what's going on in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today, God, you are pushed way out in left field. Well, that's being honest. But you're still talking to God. Mm-hmm. You're still in fellowship with God. God wants that. He wants you to connect. So we need to take inventory of our heart and our life and where we're at spiritually. We also need to find out what really matters to us. Oh, that job title is huge, Reba. I've seen so many men say, look, wife, I'll see you later. The job title, I gotta have it. Honey, just be over there for a while. I gotta have the job title.
Wow.
Okay? I gotta have that job title. Because it look, I made it. I can show everybody I made it. I'm worth something. Not good, Reba. Mm-mm. Number three, asking God and trusting him for his answer. You know, God always answers prayer, Reba. It may just not be the way we want it. When someone says, oh, God didn't answer my prayer, Tom. No, he answered. He said no. You're not wanting to listen to what God's answered you. Mm. But he won't give me this. Well, don't you trust the Father God with his answer? Maybe his answer, just maybe, is better than what we all think. He always answers prayer. Well, I prayed sincerely, Tom. Yes, but he felt like that job title or that extra money wasn't in your best interests. How can that be? Well, he's a little smarter than we are. Just slightly, Reba. Just a tiny bit,
yeah,
right?
I'd say.
So we need to look to God for wisdom, not our neighbors who aren't Christians, not Uncle Michael who is not a believer and puts all his faith in his money. You know, where do we look for wisdom, Reba?
We look to the inspired word of God.
Yes, but we must not look to the wrong places to get wisdom.
Mm.
It's important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I read this in a certain financial periodical. Well, was it biblical? Did it match the word? No. Well, then why'd you do that? Then why'd you listen to that?
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice on where you find your wisdom and what you listen to. Okay, that's really important. And God looks at intangibles more importantly than tangibles. Reba, God's not impressed with money and jewels and real estate. He's impressed with integrity, with love, with mercy, forgiveness, you know, relationship building.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what he's looking for. He doesn't care how rich we are. That's nothing. He already owns it anyway. It's not even ours.
Mm.
So in the story and in applying this, I'm working with this young couple who they were doing great when they first got married, Reba. But 2 years later, they took a left turn. They were competing with their friends, his relatives, her relatives, his folks, her folks. They wanted to be wealthy and they wanted it quick. And they kind of just left God, basically, this young couple. And so we've been working together to try to go back to basics and say, this is what really matters. Okay. That's what I'm doing with people. The scripture and the Lord should bring people back to number one, the basics.
What did they do? Did they accumulate too much debt?
Or oh, yeah.
They got in way over their head?
Both. All the above. Keep going.
Wow.
How about arguing with each other? How about near divorce?
Oh, my gosh. Just from trying to accumulate all this stuff?
Yeah, because their whole heart and goals were in the wrong direction, Reba. They were just, you know, he wanted to compete. She wanted to compete. They were like, okay, the most toys wins.
Mm.
That kind of thinking. Keeping mm-hmm. up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff is a loser thing. The enemy wants you to do that.
And in only 2 years of their marriage.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, they got off quick. They took a left turn fast. They said, Tom, we want what our parents have now, not wait 30 years to accumulate it. Reba, you know what? I've gone too long.
We're out of time.
Yep. I got to pray, though.
Incredible. We have to hear the prayer of change. If you are listening right now, you need to open up your heart and you need to receive this in Jesus' name. Tom?
Thank you, Reba. Lord, thank you for this day. Give us wisdom. We request wisdom from you, God in heaven, the way you define wisdom, the way you see wisdom, Lord, not the way we believe or understand it is. We request your wisdom, Lord, both listener and Reba and myself. We give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You need to call Tom today. Get your financial plan and house in order. You need to act quickly. 800-386-3700. This is a man of God that wants to speak God's truth into your life. America's changing. The traditional methods are not going to work. You need to hear the voice of God and know the economy of God in your life. Call now. 800-386-3700.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. We'll be right back.